Solomon was wiser than all of the other kings and rulers of the nations. He was the wisest of all men. And he spoke to Hashem, his God, and he said to him, "And so I propose to build a house for the name of Hashem, my God, as Hashem promised my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name.'" And so Solomon sets about doing this, and it takes him 7 years to build this very glorious temple. The word of God came to Solomon at the end of those 7 years, and he spoke to Solomon and said, "With regard to this house you are building, if you follow my laws and observe my rules and faithfully keep my commandments, I will fulfill for you the promise that I gave to your father David. I will abide among the children of Israel, and I will never forsake my people, Israel." Listen in as we unpack the building of the temple in 1 Kings chapter 7. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 9th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 5, 16 to 31. The Kohen shall bring her forward and have her stand before Hashem. The Kohen shall take sacred water in an earthen vessel, and taking some of the earth that is on the floor of the Mishkan, the Kohen shall put it into the water. After he has made the woman stand before Hashem, the Kohen shall bear the woman's head and place upon her hands the meal offering of remembrance, which is a meal offering of jealousy. And in the Kohen's hands shall be the water of bitterness that induces the spell. The Kohen shall adjure the woman, saying to her, "If no man has lain with you, if you have not gone astray in defilement while married to your husband, be immune to harm from this water of bitterness that induces the spell. But if you have gone astray while married to your husband and have defiled yourself, if a man other than your husband has had carnal relations with you," here the Kohen shall administer the curse of adjuration to the woman. As the Kohen goes on to say to the woman, "May Hashem make you a curse and an imprecation among your people, as Hashem causes your thigh to sag and your belly to distend. May this water that induces the spell enter your body, causing the belly to distend and the thigh to sag." And the woman shall say, "Amen, amen." The Kohen shall put these curses down in writing and rub it off into the water of bitterness. He is to make the woman drink the water of bitterness that induces the spell, so that the spell-inducing water may enter into her to bring on bitterness. Then the Kohen shall take from the woman's hand the meal offering of jealousy, elevate the meal offering before Hashem, and present it on the mitzvah, the altar. The Kohen shall scoop out of the meal offering a token part of it and turn it into smoke on the altar. Last, he shall make the woman drink the water. Once he has made her drink the water, if she has defiled herself by breaking faith with her husband, the spell-inducing water shall enter into her to bring on bitterness, so that her belly shall distend and her thigh shall sag, and the woman shall become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is pure, she shall be unharmed and able to retain seed. This is the ritual in cases of jealousy. When a woman goes astray while married to her husband and defiles herself, or when a fit of jealousy comes over a man and he is wrought up over his wife, the woman shall be made to stand before Hashem, and the Kohen shall carry out all this ritual with her. The man shall be clear of guilt, but that woman shall suffer for her guilt. 1 Kings 5, 1 to 6, 38. Solomon's rule extended over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines and the boundary of Egypt. They brought Solomon tribute and were subject to him all his life. Solomon's daily provisions consisted of 30 cores of semolina and 60 cores of ordinary flour, 10 fattened oxen, 20 pasture-fed oxen, and 100 sheep and goats, besides deers and gazelles, roebucks, and fatted geese. For he controlled the whole region west of the Euphrates, all the kings west of the Euphrates from Tipsah to Gaza, and he had peace on all his borders round about. All the days of Solomon, Yehuda, and Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, dwelt in safety, everyone under his own vine and under his own fig tree. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. All those prefects, each during his month, would furnish provisions for King Solomon and for all who were admitted to King Solomon's table. They did not fall short in anything. They would also, each in his turn, deliver barley and straw for the horses and the swift steeds to the places where they were stationed. Hashem endowed Solomon with wisdom and discernment in great measure, with understanding as vast as the sands on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the Kedemites and than all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was the wisest of all men, wiser than Ethan the Erethite, and Haman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal. His fame spread among all the surrounding nations. He composed 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He discoursed about trees from the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall, and he discoursed about beasts, birds, creeping things, and fishes. Men of all peoples came to hear Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. King Hiram of Tyre sent his officials to Solomon when he heard that he had been anointed king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend of David. Solomon sent this message to Hiram: "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of Hashem, his God, because of the enemies that encompassed him until Hashem had placed them under the soles of his feet. But now Hashem, my God, has given me respite all around. There is no adversary and no mischance. And so I propose to build a house for the name of Hashem, my God, as Hashem promised my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name.' Please, then, give orders for cedars to be cut for me in the Lebanon. My servants will work with yours, and I will pay you any wages you may ask for your servants. For as you know, there is none among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard Solomon's message, he was overjoyed. "Praised be Hashem this day," he said, "for granting David a wise son to govern this great people." So Hiram sent word to Solomon, "I have your message. I will supply all the cedar and cypress logs you require. My servants will bring them down to the sea from the Lebanon, and at the sea I will make them into floats and deliver them to any place that you designate to me. There I shall break them up for you to carry away. You in turn will supply the food I require for my household." So Hiram kept Solomon provided with all the cedar and cypress wood he required, and Solomon delivered to Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as provisions for his household, and 20 cores of beaten oil. Such was Solomon's annual payment to Hiram. Hashem had given Solomon wisdom, as he had promised him. There was friendship between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon imposed forced labor on all Israel. The levy came to 30,000 men. He sent them to the Lebanon in shifts of 10,000 a month. They would spend 1 month in the Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Solomon also had 70,000 porters and 80,000 couriers in the hills. Apart from Solomon's 3,300 officials who were in charge of the work and supervised the gangs doing the work, The king ordered huge blocks of choice stone to be quarried so that the foundations of the house might be laid with hewn stones. Solomon's masons, Hiram's masons, and the men of Gebal shaped them. Thus, the timber and the stones for building the house were made ready. In the 480th year after the Israelites left the land of Egypt, in the month of Ziv, that is, the second month, in the fourth year of his reign over Israel, Solomon began to build the house of Hashem. The house which King Solomon built for Hashem was 60 amot long, 20 amot wide, and 30 amot high. The portico in front of the great hall of the house was 20 amot long, along the width of the house, and 10 amot deep to the front of the house. He made windows for the house, recessed and latticed. Against the outside wall of the house, the outside walls of the house enclosing the great hall and the shrine, he built a storied structure, and he made side chambers all around. The lowest story was 5 amot wide, the middle one 6 amot wide, and the third 7 amot wide, for he had provided recesses around the outside of the house so as not to penetrate the walls of the house. When the house was built, only finished stones cut at the quarry were used, so that no hammer or axe or any iron tool was heard in the house while it was being built. The entrance to the middle story of the side chambers was on the right side of the house, and winding stairs led up to the middle chambers, and from the middle chambers to the third story. When he finished building the house, he paneled the house with beams and planks of cedar. He built the storage structure against the entire house, each story 5 amot high, so that it encased the house with timbers of cedar. Then the word of Hashem came to Solomon. With regard to this house you are building, if you follow my laws and observe my rules and faithfully keep my commandments, I will fulfill for you the promise that I gave to your father David. I will abide among the children of Israel, and I will never forsake my people, Israel. When Solomon had completed the construction of the house, he paneled the walls of the house on the inside with planks of cedar. He also overlaid the walls on the inside with wood from the floor of the house to the ceiling, and he overlaid the floor of the house with planks of cypress. 20 amot from the rear of the house, he built a partition of cedar planks from the floor to the walls. He furnished its interior to serve as a shrine, as the Holy of Holies. The front part of the house, that is, the great hall, measured 40 amot high. The cedar of the interior of the house had carvings of gourds and calyxes. It was all cedar, no stone was exposed. In the innermost part of the house, he fixed a shrine in which to place the ark. The interior of the shrine was 20 amot long, 20 amot wide, and 20 amot high. He overlaid it with solid gold. He similarly overlaid its cedar altar. Solomon overlaid the interior of the house with solid gold, and he inserted golden chains into the door of the shrine. He overlaid the shrine with gold so that the entire house was overlaid with gold. He even overlaid with gold the entire altar of the shrine, and so the entire house was completed. In the shrine he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 amot high. One had a wing measuring 5 amot, and another wing measuring 5 amot, so that the spread from wingtip to wingtip was 10 amot, and the wing spread of the other cherub was also 10 amot. The two cherubim had the same measurements and proportions. The height of the one cherub was 10 amot, and so was that of the other cherub. He placed the cherubim inside the inner chamber. Since the wings of the cherubim were extended, a wing of the one touched one wall, and a wing of the other touched the other wall, while their wings in the center of the chamber touched each other. He overlaid the cherubim with gold. All over the walls of the house, of both the inner area and the outer area, he carved reliefs of cherubim, palms, and calyxes. And he overlaid the floor of the house with gold, both the inner and the outer areas. For the entrance of the shrine, he made doors of olive wood, the pilasters and the doorposts having 5 sides. The double doors were of olive wood, and on them he carved reliefs of cherubim, palms, and calyxes. He overlaid them with gold, hammering the gold onto the cherubim and the palms. For the entrance of the great hall, too, he made doorposts of oleaster wood, having four sides, and the double doors of cypress wood, each door consisting of two rounded planks. On them he carved cherubim, palms, and calyxes, overlaying them with gold applied evenly over the carvings. He built the inner enclosure of three courses of hewn stones and one course of cedar beams. In the fourth year, in the month of Ziv, the foundations of the house were laid. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, that is the 8th month, the house was completed according to all its details and all its specifications. It took him 7 years to build it. Acts 7:1-29. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men, brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said to him, 'Get you out of your country and from your kindred, and come into the land which I shall show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan. And from there, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land, wherein you now dwell. And he gave him no inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on it. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as you had yet no child. And God spoke on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil for 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God, and after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the 8th day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned and all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself to them as they strove, and would have set them at once again, saying, 'Sirs, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another?' But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Will you kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?' Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. Psalm 127, 1-5. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Proverbs 16:28-30. A froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into the way that is not good. He shuts his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 1 Kings chapter 5 and 6. And in chapter 6 and 5, we see Solomon completing the building of the temple. In verses 9, 10, and 11 of chapter 5, it is written, Hashem endowed Solomon with wisdom and discernment in great measure, with understanding as vast as the sands on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the Kedemites and than all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was the wisest of all men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Haman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Malal. His fame spread among all the surrounding nations. So then Solomon sends a message to Hiram, and he beseeches the Lord, and he says in verse 18, But now Hashem, my God, has given me respite all around. There's no war. There is no adversary and no mischance. Verse 19, And so I propose to build a house for the name of Hashem, my God, as Hashem promised my father David, saying, Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build the house for my name. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Because King Solomon reigns over a united and strong kingdom, living at peace, he is able to embark upon the building of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, in Jerusalem. The Talmud relates that the Mishkan stood in Gilgal for 14 years, in Shiloh for 369 years, and in Nov and Gibeon together for another 57 years, equaling a total of 440 years. After this period, work on a permanent house of God can finally begin. This monumental project is the high point of the history of the people of Israel. The purpose of the Exodus from Egypt was to receive the Torah and to observe it in Eretz Israel, which includes serving Hashem in the place he chose, the Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem. This temple would serve as a focal point for worship of God by the children of Israel and the rest of the world. Continuing on into chapter 6. I'll start in verse 11. Then the word of Hashem came to Solomon, With regard to this house you are building, if you follow my laws and observe my rules and faithfully keep my commandments, I will fulfill for you the promise that I gave to your father David. I will abide among the children of Israel, and I will never forsake my people Israel. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. King Solomon concludes the building of the Beit HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem. This holiest place on earth is a massive and awe-inspiring complex that brings the entire world closer to God. Though Hashem will allow it to stand only if the children of Israel serve him properly, Rabbi Solomon Aviner points out that God's commitment in this verse is not conditional. Hashem's covenant with his people is eternal. Though he may hide his face at certain points in history, He will never leave his people or allow other nations to flourish in the promised land. Despite the many years of exile and suffering that the Jewish people have experienced, Hashem's covenant remains, as does the promise of a return to Eretz Israel. He has begun to fulfill that promise in our era, before our very eyes. And this is true. In May of 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn, and immediately they were at war and under attack from hostile neighbors in the neighborhood, from the Arab nations around them. But even today, with all the hostilities and the conflict, with attacks coming from Hamas, from Hezbollah, from the Houthis, from Iran, and from hostile Hamas and Hezbollah operatives from within the nation, within Judea and Samaria, still Israel survives and even thrives, even with this war on seven fronts. God is with Israel, and Israel will be an eternal nation forever and ever and ever. It will never cease to exist as a nation. Now, as to the temple, keep in mind that this temple is a shadow picture. What is built in the earthly realm is a shadow of an actual real temple in heaven. And so what we see on the earth is simply a shadow, a copy of something much, much greater in heaven. And everything about the temple points us to Yeshua, our Messiah. That this temple becomes a place where God dwells. And later on, as we continue on reading in 1 Kings, we're going to see that the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that accompanied the children of Israel when they left Israel, that cloud, that Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory of God's presence will come to be in this very first temple. And it is a sign of how God is himself indwelling inside this temple. We know that one day there will be another temple that will be built, because the closing chapters of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40, 41, 42, talks about this future eternal temple. Also, there are several chapters in the book of Revelation that are mirroring the very same message as what's found in Ezekiel in chapter 40, 41, 42. It's this description of yet another third temple that is going to come. So, Father, we thank you that now your spirit can dwell within us, and that our body is the holy temple that houses the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that each one of us is like a living stone, and that we are fit together perfectly, and that as the living stones come together and congregate together, that you inhabit the praises of your people. You are there in our midst. You promise us that when two or more are gathered in your name, Jesus, that you are there in the midst. So we thank you, Father, for the living temple, the spiritual temple that you are building. But we also look forward, Father, to a future literal physical temple that will one day be built, where Jesus will rule and reign from Mount Zion for 1,000 years. We look forward to that day. The rabbis teach that when you study the temple, that's part of the process of building it. It begins with studying it. So, Father, may you put a joy and a delight in our heart as we study this temple where you dwell. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mereka Yahweh Adonai Panavilaka vikuneka isa Adonai panav ileka vayasein leka leka shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.